Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, you can listen to the show as a podcast. Same show, iHeartRadio app. It's called John and Ken on Demand. And this way, you will never have to miss a single minute of the show ever again.
I just looked again at that email from our union, SAG-AFTRA. Mm-hmm. You could have gone out during the break. They're out there protesting at Warner Brothers, right next door to
KFI. Right across the street.
Yeah, 3772 West Olive. Today from 1 to 5. So, John, you could help them join the picket line.
If I join the picket line, are they going to get more money?
I think you're pretty powerful. You get that megaphone and make your mark like you do. That might work to boost pay for the writers. No?
So the cheap bastards that run these television and movie studios.
I got to keep the stock prices up, huh? Lots of people are writers.
Sure, and it's the little guy who gets crushed.
Everybody wants to be a writer. You're easily replaceable. So much content. All right. Well, of course, that's the big local story. We're going to go to Chris Adler, KFI News, who I think is where Amazon is, covering the pickets there. Chris.
Yeah, John and Ken. I thought I'd see you guys out here standing in solidarity. So these strikers hit the picket lines around 1 o'clock this afternoon. There was an offer that was put in by the motion picture producers company last night before the deadline at midnight when the contract expired. But I was speaking to several members of the union. They say it wasn't not enough, didn't even come close, and they didn't want them to come back with serious offers, guys.
It seems like this is going to go on a while.
Yeah, you know, in 2007 and 2008, the last Writers Guild of America strike, it lasted 100 days. And I asked several different members here out on the picket lines today. They say that they're willing to strike for as long as it takes. It's open-ended, and there's no definitive date of when they would end it. They say basically they're going to strike until they get what they want.
A lot of this is over streaming materials. Is that what the big change is?
Well, that is a big focus. The streaming, because not only just the streaming, they when they have streaming services, it's not like the traditional productions where they have 20 episodes a season. Sometimes it's only 10 episodes a season, even as low as 4 episodes. That means less work for the writers. You know, they're not coming in, they're not producing as much, and they're not writing, so they're not getting paid. But also, you guys, they're saying that it's residual. So residuals meaning royalties. When the streaming services does reruns and they play these shows over and over, they're getting such a minuscule amount of what these production companies are making, even though they're replaying it over and over. And so the residuals is another focus for them.
The last time they did a contract, streaming wasn't a big thing. So an entire new industry blew up massively.
Yeah, Netflix is what started all
in
this,
a short,
right?
Yeah, I read the last time they had a strike, Netflix was still a mail order DVD service.
Right, just for movies. Yeah.
Right. So
They weren't doing their own productions as much.
This has been a huge earthquake in a very short time, and the contracts don't reflect the new financial situation here.
Yeah, they say that money in the industry is up exponentially, but their salaries are down, and they're only asking for 2% of what they're making. So they think they're within reason. Celebrities, actors have come out and said that without the writers, there are no shows. So it goes dark. And, you know, they feel very underappreciated. That's why they're all out here right now off of Washington Boulevard. There's hundreds of people, but also throughout L.A. So Fox, you know, their Warner Brothers, Sony, everywhere.
And everybody gets thrown out of work, the whole crew, because the productions are shut down. And so it's not just the writers that are out of work. Every other category of entertainment worker is now home.
It's a great point. Yeah, and it's people behind the cameras, in front of the cameras, but also, you know, the little guys who own the businesses nearby, the restaurants, where they're ordering big lunches, $400 and $500 lunches, they say. So it's going to have a real trickle effect and real, like, domino effect here, you guys.
Yep.
I heard the only thing affected today as far as programming is concerned is what, the late-night talk shows?
Late-night talk shows and daytime soap operas, which, you know, viewers may feel an immediate, you know, miss to that, but they say they will be running reruns, but it might take a while before people really start to feel like they're suffering or going through withdrawals from their shows. But yeah, the late night talk shows and the soap operas are the big ones.
Yeah, some of the streaming companies I read have stockpiled content, so they'll be releasing new episodes or new series for a while.
Yeah, that's what one of the members was saying today. See, they're honking cars, driving by, honking in solidarity, throwing fists in the air, and, you know, letting them know that they support them and they're standing with them. But yes, great point. A lot of the streaming services do have that, you know, that those reserves, well, but those will run out. And there's no telling, guys. You know, the last strike lasted 100 days, cost the industry $2.8 billion, and there's no telling, again, how long this will last. Everybody that I've spoken to has told me that they're willing to strike as long as it takes.
How many people are out there roughly where you are?
I'd say about 200 here.
About mostly 200, writers and supporters? Yeah.
Yeah, well, mostly writers, yeah. See, more honkers, people really get really pumped up when the cars drive by. So, yeah, mostly writers, but these are people that work for the industry and say, you know, Where's our due? Where's our cut?
Are there picket signs better because they're professional writers?
You know what? you follow my Instagram at Chris Adler KFI. I'll be posting some of the real good ones, the real creative ones.
Yeah,
creative,
that's what I'm looking
very
for.
Creative. Yeah, definitely they are. Some of them, one of them, you know, the old saying, Netflix and chill. Well, someone just said, hey, chill Netflix. You know, so there's some puns here. It's some pretty funny stuff.
All right, Chris.
Thank you very much for that report.
You're welcome, guys. I'll be out here.
All right, Chris Adler, KFI News, covering some of the picketing writers outside these studios all around Southern California today, mostly centered in Hollywood and Culver City is where these pickets are going on. I'm looking at a Time story from just a few weeks ago. The minimum weekly rate that applies to staff writers' employment starts at $4,154 if they're guaranteed for 40 plus weeks. So in other words, if you get a gig, because a lot of this is gig work, and they give you a guarantee of 40 plus weeks writing for the show, they're going to pay $4,000 a week, which isn't bad. I mean, but minimums are higher, though, if they only give you shorter periods of time. So if they're only going to hire you for like 20 weeks, they'll probably pay you more than that.
Yeah.
For all writers above staff writer, the minimum weekly rate starts at $7,412 and then goes up for shorter employment periods. Just to give you an idea of the kind of wages that we're talking about. But the thing is, and we talked about this last hour, because this is gig work with a lot of these writers, you know, there's just no guarantee that, you know, you get a good gig writing for a show and show's canceled, then you may not have anything else in the pipe.
And most of them get canceled. Well, most of them quickly get canceled. So it's a tough life.
Yeah,
but it's like being an actor too. It's the same problem.
But it's like we talked about last hour. There is so much material out there now. They may have a point in that some of these studios are being fair because they know that they have you over there because there's so much content and so many people trying to write.
Well, with the syndication rerun market disappearing, that provided a lot of
revenue
for writers. Yeah, you could live off that to some extent.
Because that was in the day where you did have a hit show like Everybody Loves Raymond or Friends that a lot of people watched in the 10, 20, 30 million Big Bang Theory. But those days are gone.
Yeah.
They have very few sitcoms, I noticed, on streaming services, like original sitcoms. Not a lot of them. It's mostly just series, and they're mostly dramatic series, at least when I scroll around.
And a short number of episodes for the season.
Yeah, anywhere from 7 to 12 is what I see.
Yeah. To show you how much it's changed, the median age for someone watching the network, the old networks.
Oh, yeah, I saw those numbers, yeah.
59,
yeah.
Yeah. So there's hardly anybody under retirement age watching the old networks. So the streaming has completely swallowed the whole industry, and there's not an agreement to reflect the new realities.
Right.
Because this happened so fast. So that's why this is going to be... Because obviously the streaming companies want to sit on the money and keep it. They don't want to share.
Yeah. All right. We got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
We have an important update on the story that goes with that piece of audio. We talked yesterday about the LA Philharmonic show in which you heard the piece of audio while the Philharmonic was playing. Apparently, one audience member, most believed at the time, was in the throes of sexual excitement.
An orgasm.
A woman having an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
However, we want to give you an update on the story. And this brings Deborah Mark in because she was not convinced that that's what that was.
That's right.
Because she had never made a sound like that.
Even with her enhancement pills?
I don't take enhancement pills, and I don't know if they make them for women.
The guys make a louder sound on the enhancement pills.
That would
pills,
go well so. In your commercial, right? You just stop in the middle and do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, good.
Guys, make her feel...
Ooh.
Well, one attendee who was seated in the row directly behind the person who made this noise said it appeared as if the woman was waking up from a sleep attack. I never heard that term before, a sleep attack, when she made the sound. Pretty quickly, she sort of fell onto her partner's shoulders, then into his lap, then her body went limp.
Maybe five seconds
later, she kind of awoke, and that's when she let out that scream. Because Deborah Mark thought it was more like, you know...
She was injured.
Like she was injured or attacked or pretty worked up there. But
not worked up in that way, John.
No, I'm... That is an odd sound she made. But everybody assumed it was an orgasm. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Because it made the story better.
Yes, that's why. There you go.
Yeah, it did. And the fact that... It blended in pretty nicely with the music.
Yes.
In terms of the audio, I don't know where the audio was taken from there, but you know, they're almost at an equal...
This concept of a sleep attack is also weird. What is that exactly?
Maybe she had a nightmare.
A nightmare, yeah. Did John, wake up and kind of do a flinch or a noise because
in the middle of the concert
going on in your brain?
She went into dream sleep in the middle of the concert.
Well, it is the Philharmonic.
You know.
And it's nighttime. You might. Everybody naps. People nap during movies. They nap during everything.
Every time I go to something like that, I fall asleep.
Of course you do.
Every time.
All those musicals?
You know, musicals.
You're still getting dragged to musicals?
No. My wife hates them more than I do.
Oh,
no. Okay, musicals make me angry.
Okay. What is wrong with you? Musicals make you angry?
Oh, yes, they do. John gets really worked up.
They do.
I love musicals.
There was a time, Deborah, where we were invited to like these previews and openings, and John was always going and always complaining later. Well, then he'd come on the air and say, well, we thank them very much for inviting us to the
event. Oh, I love it. I still go to those things, and I really enjoy it.
No, you know what set me over the edge? When Phantom of the Opera came to town.
I love Phantom of the Opera.
The most excruciating night of my life.
What?
Yes.
Okay, you cannot say that you don't like the music of Phantom of the Opera.
I can't stand.
Ken. You like the music. And
no, I do not.
You do not?
No, that is one of the...
What, memory?
I've come to terms with musicals, but that one...
Oh, God.
I've never... I went to see the movie, too, and I felt the same way.
I didn't like the movie, but I've seen the musical a few times, but it's the music that I love.
Yeah, clearly it's lasted this many years. Okay. People like
it. One of the PR guys that got us the tickets, I'd gone on a rampage probably for like 20 minutes on how angry I was that I wanted to run up on stage and just stab everybody. That's
odd.
And the next day contacted
me. You said this on the air?
Oh, yeah. You were there for it. Yeah.
I do vaguely remember you going on a rant. But okay. It was always this, you didn't want to ruin the free ticket thing. So I always thought maybe he didn't always go on a rant.
I think you probably ruined it, right?
For a while, yeah. I was overcome. I couldn't take it. I didn't understand it. To this day, I don't understand the story. Like, I don't get it. And so I said, yeah, I got so angry. I just want to run up and stab everybody. And so apparently it ran 26 pages because this PR guy had a printout, a transcript of what I did. And
what?
Yes.
I don't remember.
No, he said it was 26 pages long. And he goes, and you wanted to run up on stage and stab everybody? Like, all right, maybe I got out of hand. I'm sorry.
Maybe.
The show's about truths, you know? It was just a stream of consciousness. He just went off on his rant, and that came out.
That's how I felt in the moment.
That's how you felt that night.
That's right. I was crazy. And the thing is, and I realized, I'm just so different from a lot of people. I remember people standing up at the end of a dramatic number, right? And they're all red in the face, and they're pounding their... They weren't applauding. They're pounding their hands together so hard, like they were going to break all their bones in their hands. Hmm. And they're pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. They're red in the face and they're howling and screaming. And I'm thinking, I don't get any of this. This doesn't resonate.
Think about how somebody might be sitting in the audience at a baseball game and there's an incredible catch and you're up cheering and screaming and they're sitting there going, huh?
Yeah, I know.
I don't get this.
I know. But there's something about people.
This is a little boys game.
The thing is,
after a ball.
There's something, but the people who go to the theater, and I go to a ton of theater, and the theater and opera and classical concerts, they're snooty about it. They have. I don't have a snooty attitude if you don't like baseball. It's like, you don't like baseball, I understand. It probably looks really boring and the rules are weird and you can't quite grasp it. You don't care. I understand that. But when you tell somebody, you know, I can't stand classical music. Well, we're one of those Philistines, aren't you?
Yes, you're.
I'm not snooty about that. I'm just saying I happen to love musicals. And I love Phantom of the Opera.
What was it about?
Oh, God.
Quiet silence.
No, I mean, it was about this.
See, I can explain baseball.
It's a petty thief, right? It's a petty thief.
But he was disfigured, and he fell in love with this woman. And she, when she saw his face, she freaked out.
Well, of course.
Okay. And he felt very bad. I mean, that's in a nutshell. I mean, that's cliff noting it. But again, it wasn't necessarily the story that did anything for me.
You get 3 hours out of that?
I really liked the music.
Uh-huh.
And I have to tell you right now, I had a brain aneurysm. This is so bad, I mixed up. Phantom of the Opera, I can live with. That wasn't too bad. The one I don't like is Les Mis.
Oh, I love
And that's
the music
one where people always
Mis.
Say, well, what was it about?
Yes, that I can, okay. That one is a little harder.
That's about a petty thief that gets chased by some detective or cop for years or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen Les Mis 3 times.
But Les Mis is the one I saw the movie version. I still was like,
I never understood the story. That's the thing.
That story was confusing. That one was confusing, but the music in that one is incredible as well.
Hmm.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, finishing off the story of the woman at the Philharmonic, there's another theory that she may have had a narcolepsy experience.
Oh, so that would be the sleep attack, right?
Yeah, that would explain the sleep attack. The woman, audience member who was seated in the row behind the person, said she's previously witnessed a person with a narcolepsy experience, and she made that kind of noise. After the woman made the noise, her partner, another woman seated next to her, asked if she was okay. she said she was, and then she looked like she was just embarrassed because apparently
narcolepsy, or she was just bored out of her mind.
We don't know unless she does an interview. We don't know. These are just people that were seated next to her or near.
Sometimes I go to a play, and if I go after I've had dinner, I get incredibly sleepy after I eat.
Yeah,
and I remember one play, and I wanted to watch the play and like it. I could not shake for 2.5 hours the desire to fall asleep.
I've had that problem.
Nothing I could do. And it wasn't late, and I had gotten a night's sleep, but just I ate, the theater was warm, and I could never, ever get it going.
Yeah, it's the whole 2.5 hours. You're still just kind of popping your head up.
Yeah. My head's nodding and nodding and.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, that's right. And use that app to connect to the voice line, which will be back in just 3 days. We invite you to, of course, check out the microphone icon on the iHeartRadio app with KFI and leave a message for the voice line or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. I meant to mention this before, John. Kind of ties in sort of to what we were just talking about with musicals. Guess who's returning with a brand new album and is coming back to the United States on a new tour?
Who?
I'm all out of love. What am I without you?
Oh, Air Supply?
Air Supply.
Yes. They're going to be in Houston in June. They have a brand new album, The Lost in Love Experience.
You sound excited.
No, I'm not. I'm actually
not. She sounds excited.
I love Air Supply.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm an aficionado of pop music history. And what happened was kind of fascinating. The late 70s, it was all disco records, which eventually there was a rebellion against. And somehow in the early 80s, we ended up with just all ballads. In fact, I heard a Casey Kasem countdown the other day where he was talking about a music researcher commenting on this. How we just moved, like in 1980 or 81, half of the top hits were just ballads. and Air Supply. Apparently, they had 5 top 10 hits in the United States. Oh, yeah, they were big in 1980, 81, 82. Oh,
yeah. And they're back.
In fact, Air Supply at the time
are you gonna
the
make
Beatles
the sound?
Run of consecutive top 5 singles.
Really?
They did, yes. Yep. They had Lost in Love and All Out of Love, mm-hmm. two of their big hits. Mm-hmm. But they're coming. The only reason I thought of them here, do you know the two singers? It's really just two guys. Graham Russell and Russell Hitchcock.
I never knew their names.
They have both have Russell in their name. First name, last name. You know where they met? Bringing us back to musicals. A production of Jesus Christ Superstar in 1975.
There you go.
After the show's performances, they began playing together and gained a reputation for great harmonies. There you go. So there, it spawned, a musical spawned Air Supply.
You were so excited. I thought you were going to make the sound that the lady did in the...
Okay, that was fake news, as I told you. And no, I don't know a lot of people, including myself, that would have an orgasm because you're talking about music or listening to music. That's not me, by the way.
That's Deborah at an Air Supply concert.
God.
Hey, go to Houston. Sit in the audience and playing at the arena down there.
I loved Air Supply in the 80s. I really did.
Oh.
My dream job was I wanted to do the news on Coast because they played Air Supply and all those, you know, love songs. I loved that.
Funny.
Yes.
That was her dream.
That was my
gig.
Dream back in the day.
I've never heard anybody say that.
I really wanted to do it.
And those love dedications.
Oh,
right?
The love songs on the Coast.
Just to hear the Air Supply records,
oh,
huh?
Yeah. Well, there's other groups I like, too. Well,
Karen Sharp was our friend. We used to talk to her every night when she went in to do her show at 6 o'clock.
I know. I'm envious of her. She has my dream job. Well, it was my dream job before I came on your show, of
right.
course.
This is not exactly Air Supply here.
No, that's for sure.
It's pretty far.
I can't really make the connection here.
In fact, to talk about a complete change, we're now going to talk about what's fascinating about this story is the level of detail. California's Task Force on Reparations has finally kind of spit out a number. $1.2 million per black resident over a lifetime. That's the new rough estimate of what the state will have to compensate black people for, quote, the legacy of harm. This was a task force appointed by Newsom back in 2020 after the George Floyd situation and the whole thing that was going on in America. Here we are 3 years later. They're still working on their drafts and their estimates. But I scroll down into the story, and I couldn't believe the actual level of detail that went into it. No wonder they took so long. Let me give you an idea. The draft report outlines estimates for restitution to repair harm in three areas. The first is mass incarceration and over-policing in black communities. They came out with $115,260 per person in 2020 dollars. It'll be a little higher than that now. Or $2,352 for each year of residency in California from 1971, which was the first year of the war on drugs, to 2020. Isn't it kind of weird how exacting this is?
Because it's made up.
I know, but they want to give it the air of being...
Here, I can make up numbers. How about $5,235 for every year that you existed? Or how about $8,601? Or how about $1,312? It's all made up numbers.
The state is looking at a $30 billion deficit. I don't see this happening this year.
No, this is his cheap headline maneuver. He's not going to follow through on this. He's going to run for president having signed a reparations bill? Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
They can't do that.
That's a good way to lose 42 states right off the bat.
Discrimination in housing such as redlining that denied home loans to black families late into the 20th century, that's $148,099 per person. Or $3,366 for each year between 1933 and 1977.
No, just made up numbers. Anybody can do that. You knew there's health harm.
Unequal access to health care, greater exposure to environmental pollution, and discrimination from medical workers. They tallied this up, too. That's $13,619 per person for each year you spent in the state. That's a lot for each year you spent in the state.
Well, it's just a huge money grab. That's all. They're trying to take advantage of this socialist woke climate and see how much money they can run off with.
Well, I imagine the Sacramento legislature is very sympathetic. It's just they're going to hit a brick wall.
Because it's not their money, and they've caught the woke virus. You know, their brains are inflamed with the woke virus. So sure, there's no rational logic here.
Just to give you an idea, the total cost is more than $800 billion. Mm-hmm. The state has only a $300 billion annual budget, so this is almost three times the budget.
Right.
So if we spent nothing for 3 years, we could pay this all out.
Somebody told me the other day that this thing actually passed, and that's it. They're moving out of California.
Oh, really? They're leaving?
Not, yeah, they're not.
This is the straw?
Yeah, this is it. They're not paying money for this.
The report suggests the legislature work now on just making a substantial initial down payment.
Right, there you go.
On the reparations.
That's the great negotiating tactic. Ask for something really obscene and outrageous, and you know maybe they'll give you something halfway or a quarter way. Yeah, that's still very
like a stimulus check,
lucrative.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Wow,
that's just ridiculous.
And they believe that payments to elderly Black people be the priority if they're going to start somewhere.
Yeah, every poll I've seen on that, it loses badly.
Oh, it says here even a number of Democrats in the legislature, they're described as moderate or hesitant about this plan.
No. No, they'll get run out of office. You can't throw away tax money like that, especially with the budget deficit increasing rapidly and the tax base shrinking.
Yeah,
I mean, we just told you yesterday how much money has left California from all the people moving out. It's ridiculous.
All right, we got more coming up. You got the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
John, there's another balloon. We haven't had balloon news in a while. There was one flying off the coast of Hawaii. They believe, though, it's now moved out of Hawaiian airspace. They did Pacific Air Force's launch three F-22s to assess the situation and identified a spherical object.
Oh, so they sent three fighter jets up there to say, hey, yeah, that looks like a balloon.
They said there's no connection to China or any other adversary, and it presents no threats. So I guess they're just going to let it go. It was floating at about 36,000 feet. And let's try to figure out see if they had the size of it here. But yeah, remember all that back in January and February with the balloons floating around?
Yeah, well, that thing was a real spy ship, though.
I know, but
most of this stuff is just hobbyists.
There's got to be stuff up there every day, though. Like I expected more stories, or I guess they just gave up.
See, right? I don't understand why is this one getting covered, but I guess they sent up the fighter jets, so it becomes
they
news.
They did, yeah. And I remember they changed the criteria for whether or not they're going to respond because of all the hoopla over the Chinese balloon. I wonder if they've just gone back to the old, you know, criteria of whether or not they bother to respond.
You know what? I know that our government is so bad that we're going to get killed by something that nobody sees.
Hmm.
Some kind of missile, some kind of device is going to go off and wipe us out, and then we're going to hear, we didn't see it. Our radar didn't detect
it. If we're wiped out, how can we
even
respond to it?
Yeah, but we'll say nothing.
We'll just be, right, dead air.
It's going to be like when Osama's crowd hit us on 9/11.
That's right. That one. Did have information on that,
right, but they didn't do anything.
Right. They didn't. Yeah, exactly.
Look, we're all doomed. We have nothing but boobs running the country. So,
all right. This might be the weirdest story of the day, and I really want to put this in perspective. It's probably not a lot of people, but there's something out there now called transableism. Or it's also called BID, Body Integrity Identity Disorder. Believe it or not, it's when people start identifying as disabled. I couldn't even wrap my brain around this.
They're also cutting off their body parts, or they're blinding themselves to be actually disabled. This is the mother of all mental disorders here.
Yeah.
There's somebody out there who decided that they wanted to identify as blind, but they weren't blind, so they gouged their eyes out. Or no, they threw acid into their eyes.
What?
Yes.
Some people ask surgeons for an amputation.
Yes.
Or for the transection of their spinal cord. What?
Had their spinal cord cut so they could be paralyzed.
Oh, because you want to be euthanized if you're doing that.
Well, that's coming. They want the status. You see, it's been spawned by the transgender movement because now those people have special social status. To be a victim gives you a status that people desire. So now they want to cut their spinal cords.
And part of this is like Munchausen's, right? You're looking for sympathy.
Attention. To feel special. They're amputating healthy limbs, snipping spinal cords, or destroying their eyesight, according to the Evolution News and Science Today. I guess it's a media outlet.
There's one Norwegian woman, a senior credit analyst in Oslo, who identifies as disabled, uses a wheelchair, but she has no physical handicap. Turns out she's also transgender. A lifelong wish to have been born a woman paralyzed from the waist down. There can't be such a thing. Who has a lifelong wish to be paralyzed from the waist down?
Because you people are...
It's a mental illness.
That's what it is. We've heard about guys and they put ads to have like some kind of weird sexual experience where they cut off their limbs.
Right.
In order to have their orgasm.
Now, some experts in the field think that this applies also even to some transgender people. It's a delusional disorder.
Yeah, Jane Orient is an internist in Tucson, executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, said, in my opinion, both transgender and transabled persons suffer from a delusional disorder.
Wow. Well, I guess if you would decide you're transgender and then you have your body parts altered, yeah, that would be somewhere along the lines of this.
Well, if people would... I mean, this is just inexplicable.
But they call it elective amputees. That is quite a term that I never thought I'd hear in my lifetime. An elective amputee.
And there are things, they're called a contagion. And if you're, it usually happens in communities or clusters, right? They have suicide clusters that happen in high schools. And now with social media, you can find a cluster. You can catch the contagion just because you're on social media and you see so many other people in the same community with the same feelings. Like they have found that.
Is this like mass shooters that we theorize?
Like mass shooters.
Sometimes they see others doing it and getting a lot of attention and it's exciting. And
mass shooting is a social contagion. Anorexia and bulimia can become a social contagion. They find out that if one girl has it, there's a group of girls that have it, or they're all accessing the same sites and the same people on social media.
So I believe this theory, but I believe there's a lid. And the lid is generally on a minimal number. It'll just get a lot of attention, but it won't be less. It'll be less than 1% of the population.
Oh, sure.
Of course, there's a lot of people around the world, so it still adds up to a healthy number. But I don't believe it's going to be like half the people suddenly want to amputate their...
No. But if you have half of 1%, let's say, right? That's a million and a half people.
Right.
You know, so you could still get hundreds of people, even though if it's a minuscule fraction of 1%.
A lot of discussion here about what doctor would do this. What surgeon would do elective amputation? That is, we've already had cosmetic surgeries, but that's different than saying, I want my spinal cord messed up.
Go look at the half the women on the West Side. You see their faces and go, what doctor did that to you? Jeez.
I know, but they're trying to look what they think is better, right? They're trying to improve their aging face. But this is different. This is, I want to be in a wheelchair so people sympathize with me and they treat me kindly and I get a whole lot of attention. That's a different... Although you're right, trying to make your face look better is also a cry for attention.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because
be recognized. Look how young she looks.
That's what you're going for.
Look at Deborah Mark's shiny face.
You didn't hear that, did you?
I heard Deborah Mark's shiny face.
Right. He was talking about women who do plastic surgery.
I don't do plastic surgery.
I didn't say she did plastic surgery.
That was just the topic, though. That was the context.
Right. But she had something done a couple of years ago.
Yes, it was a client. And yes.
It led to a shiny face. No, I thought you looked good with the shiny face.
Thank you. So I'm not... No, I wish that my face was shiny.
Right. I can't describe it, but one day she came in, it was like her face was too shiny.
And I didn't have anything on. It was just all natural.
Light will reflect.
And that was part of that procedure you had done with that advertising?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that's a positive thing to say about it. I don't remember what it was, but I just remember that experience when I saw you. And
yeah.
I was not implying you wanted plastic surgery, but I think you do like to.
Oh, yeah. I'm not. I mean, my husband is totally against plastic surgery.
You're open to it.
I don't want to look fake, but, you know, as you age, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on us.
Well, there's
women.
A fine line then between, right.
Right.
Trying to look better, but then looking fake and weird.
Right. I don't want to look fake and
there's
weird.
There's a lot of women who don't look better. They just look weird.
They look like clowns.
They don't look, they don't look younger. They don't look good. It's just.
And the more, the better, like, high def and television gets and your screens.
Oh, God.
There's someone who looks like their face melted to me. It's like, what happened there?
Or with the big, huge, collagen-filled lips. Yeah, I'm not into that.
All right. When we come back, we're once again going to talk about homelessness. You'll hear the topic and our guest, John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Andy Bales is coming up. Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.